Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Caroline Chaplin. Caroline is the owner and director of RWS, or Rooms of Style. RWS has assisted surgeons to set up private practices across Australia for the last 20 years, providing a turnkey solution for busy doctors. Today, we'll be discussing virtual reception, how it is flexible and affordable for doctors commencing private practice. We do hope you enjoyed this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about private practice. Caroline, thank you for talking with us on PodMD today.
Thanks, Declan.
So Caroline, to get us started, what is virtual reception or VR for doctors that don't know?
Virtual reception is something that, from my experience, doctors kind of know about. They've heard of friends and colleagues talking about it, but they'll often say to me, please run through it and let us know exactly what it is. So that's what I'm doing for you here today. So virtual reception is a virtual office, which means that instead of having to hire a secretary, you can use a virtual office service to perform some of the tasks in your practice. So the way I think it runs most effectively, and in telling you this will explain what it is. So we start off and we would set up a phone number for you. You might already have a phone number. And then that phone number is ported to the phones at the office of the virtual reception service that you're utilising. And then messages and so forth are added to the phone, out of office and so forth. So now when the phone rings, and typically it'll be, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, the phone is answered and the virtual reception team will have a conversation with you in relation to how you would like the phone answered and so forth. Then from there, patient inquiries are listened to and acted on. Also, appointments are loaded into your software. So often the startup doctors might have a cloud-based software, and that's really easy, as you know, to log into at a moment's notice. If you are using a server-based software, it's a lot trickier, so just be mindful of that. Sometimes it can take a couple of days for your IT people to properly allow us to log in, so it's not as user-friendly for virtual reception. Once we're logged into the software, as I said, we can upload the appointments onto the appointment screen and so forth, and also upload the referrals from patients. So I would term that the front end of virtual reception.
So Caroline, what is the back end of virtual reception?
The back end of virtual reception means things like your billing, organising your consulting lists and your theatre lists, and potentially doing some typing as well, depending on what your requirements are. Sometimes doctors might also need some debtors chased and so forth as part of the service.
So that explains what it is. How do you think it works best?
Again, good question. So in relation to virtual reception, one of the issues I see is that doctors will come and they'll see it just as a stopgap to get started and so forth with low cost. And it is that. I mean, the truth is, in private practice, your two biggest costs are always going to be your staff and your room. So if you can remove the cost of staff at the start, that's terrific. But I see virtual reception as playing a far bigger and more important role than just a stopgap. So I think at the start, virtual reception should be that you engage a team that are setting you up correctly. After all, it's typically your foray into private practice. This is the first time that your referrers and your patients are getting an image of you and your brand and what you stand for and what you do. You want to do it correctly. Otherwise, you'll have the challenge that later on, when you remove yourself from virtual reception, if it hasn't been set up correctly, you won't know what to do. And there'll be a disconnect, if you like, in relation to how the service was performed initially and now how you're performing the service under your own brand, potentially with your own staff. So how I think the perfect way of setting up virtual reception should be is like this. Imagine that you've given us your baby, or any crew that's doing virtual reception, your baby, and we're looking after the baby. So we're the nurses potentially in the hospital, and we're looking after that baby, and we're setting that baby up for a good start in life. that baby's being well fed and looked after and we're measuring the weight and we're getting it all right. Similarly, we're doing the same thing with your virtual reception. We're getting your correct forms in place and compliance. We're setting up your appointment book correctly so that it will be set up correctly for future efficiencies. At the start, it's not so important because not many appointments are coming in, but it's certainly going to be important as you go through the stages of private practice. So again, back to the analogy of the baby. Once that baby's going well and the baby's thriving, just as your practice would be thriving, now we'll get to the point where we need to hand the baby back to you because you're ready to get your own stuff. This will happen. Virtual reception will not be your answer long term. It will be an answer to keep your costs down, but use it also to get yourself set up correctly from the onset. If you have a team of experts that are helping you and they know how to set up a practice correctly, this is what matters. Think about not going with companies that perhaps are measuring the length of calls and so forth and putting charges if you go over time, because what are you saying to your market? You're basically setting up with a system that is trying to hurry people along, where you're actually trying to build great relationships with GPs and the patients that are ringing in. So with relation to handing back the baby, a good virtual reception will mean that you can hand the baby back, but we can come back and mind the baby from time to time. So for example, a staff member might be away and we can come back into the picture because we know your systems, we know how it works, and we know that it's been set up correctly and efficiently and considering compliance. From that point of view, you get the flexibility to move in and out of virtual reception. It'll still help keep your costs down and it'll give you that backup so that you're not needing to use temp services and so forth.
So with VR, do doctors not need any staff at the start?
Technically, no, they don't need their own staff, but what they do need is a meet and greet person when consulting. But that simply means somebody who can say, hello, Mrs. Jones, you know, take a seat. Dr. Black will be with you shortly, and potentially just process an FPOS payment at the end of the consultation. The virtual reception service should be liaising and teaching that meet and greet person. That might be someone from a hospital or whomever, just so that they've got, they might have a list faxed over and they can see the patients that are coming in. Generally speaking, we wouldn't recommend that they're on your software because they potentially will create more problems. It kind of depends on who it is. So that's a case-by-case scenario. But you will need somebody for meet and greet when consulting at the start. But no, not your own staff member. Obviously, the costs of virtual reception end up being, well, it's a lot more flexible. And that actually, before I talk about costs, let's talk about flexibility. Flexibility is key. Be careful. Don't get yourself locked into a long contract. I don't believe in any contract with VR, because as your practice is changing and growing, that's going to happen at different rates. It's going to happen depending on how much effort you're putting into your marketing. It'll depend on, you know, how much need there is for your service in the particular area that you're in. It might be that you're only in private practice 0.4 or something like that. So it depends on how much time you're in your private practice too. They'll all be indicators of your rate of growth. So what you want to do is have a scenario that when the indicators are there that you're going to need your staff member, and we would help you with those, then at that point, we can start talking about hiring for you, or you might have someone in mind yourself and we can just do the compliance and maybe some training for them. Let's have a case in point. You know, that I think an example speaks 1,000 words sometimes. So we had a specialty surgeon that was renovating rooms, and he wanted to have his own staff. He'd come from a busy practice. And then so he started off with some VR because he needed to keep the practice going. So he'd moved from the associateship and now he's starting out by himself, but he was experienced. So virtual reception started off by taking his calls and then improving his processes, because his processes had been adopted by what was happening at the other practice and not necessarily what he wanted. Now he had a much better idea of who he was, how he wanted to be perceived in the marketplace and so forth with referrers and patients. So from there, after the virtual reception was set up, that was running smoothly, and we hired for him. His rooms weren't ready though, so what we did was there was gaps in the education of the person that we had hired. So they'd come from a physician's rooms and they didn't understand about surgical billing. So we had then the opportunity to continue taking the phones and then hand over the phones to the new staff member from a consulting point of view, but we could still continue doing the billing and any of the surgical requirements, and then transition that over to her as we were able to teach her, and she could do that then in a situation that wasn't pressured. She actually stayed in our office for a period of time as well, whilst the training happened, because the rooms weren't ready. Once the rooms were ready, then she transitioned over to the rooms. We continued to do a bit of the billing to help take the pressure off whilst she got into the rooms and so forth. Slowly but surely, she was able to take back all the tasks for running the front office. Now, fast forward a little bit into the future, that same doctor then needed to hire a second person, so we helped with that. And at that point, we were able to help the staff member when they were on leave and so forth, until such time as he had two staff that he engaged. So that's the progression that you need to look for. You need to think, with virtual reception, am I setting up correctly? Am I setting up in such a way that there's a system here that I'm not paying a fortune and locked into this system, so that when I do need to move and need to get my own staff that I can? And am I doing virtual reception in a way that gives me backup? So should that person be away or on leave or sick or anything that might happen, and, you know, things happen, then we can slot back in, or a group can slot back in and help you because they know your business. That's how virtual reception in my mind should work.
Thank you for that, Caroline. So what are the main take-home messages that you would like to provide?
I certainly can. So number one, just remember to keep the cost down of staff at the start and put your money into marketing. If you haven't got patients coming in, what's the point of having a staff member there that's costing you a lot of money? So virtual reception is a great option when you think about that and avoiding that cost and that commitment at the start. Number two, make sure you're using a virtual reception service that's going to set you up correctly for the long haul, because that reception service is going to be the one that's going to save your bacon when the person doesn't turn up for work or is away on leave and so forth. So that's very important. So to that end, make sure that you're not getting locked into a contract. I'd suggest go for somewhere where you're not getting a contract at all, and therefore you can come and go with the service, obviously subject to availability, I guess. But that's better for you, because the trajectory of your growth is not yet known. And as I said in the podcast, it's going to be determined by certain factors such as, you know, the degree to which you market, the degree to which you market, the need for your subspecialty in the area that you're at and so forth are going to be the types of factors that are going to affect the speed at which you move from virtual reception to your own staff. Thirdly, you need your own staff. It's not a long-term solution to do virtual reception. It's something that should morph into the background and just be there for you for support services when you need or things change in your practice. The things that change might be that staff get sick, staff leave, that you're at a point where you need more staff, and we can give you some guidelines in relation to what the indicators would be in relation to when it's, you know, you're ready for 1.5 staff or whatever might be happening. So they're the reasons that virtual reception works, and in my mind, the way it should work, so that it's most effective for you and it's not shooting you in the foot, in that it's set up as a cookie cutter call center style virtual reception. Do it properly from the start.
Thank you for your time and the insights that you've provided.